This is Will's Band of the Week for April 21st, 2014. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Live in studio at 8:30 in the morning.
It's
on a Monday
morning edition.
Morning edition.
The podcast. Should we talk like NPR people?
How do we do that?
I think we talk quietly, maybe.
Quietly.
They don't really talk that quietly, though.
No.
I don't know.
You could talk like Corey Flintoff. That would be pretty cool. You know his voice?
I think so.
Yeah. I wish if I did imitations, I'd do that right now. But
we're pretty much we just sound like ourselves.
It's kind of hard to get around that.
We're not very good actors, are we?
Nope. I'm not, what you see is, in this case, what you hear is what you get.
Yeah. And it's free, so people can't complain.
Yeah. Put on NPR if they're so great, right?
Yeah. Go ahead right now.
Go ahead right now. Turn this off.
Yeah.
Go listen to, what is their music podcast?
All Songs Considered.
Go listen to them.
Yeah, listen to their podcast recorded in a fancy studio.
Right. They talk about some crap music that you're not going to like anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Flavor of the month. Yep. Well, the dog has joined us in the studio.
You and the dog and me, we're the only awake people or
creatures
in this house here.
Found a seat for the dog. There you go.
When I suggested coming over here at 8:30, I was kind of imagining your kids being at school because we had forgotten that there's no school today.
My kids forgot, too.
Wilson went to school.
He did.
It was locked. He came home.
That is so funny because my wife and kids both didn't realize it. So, yeah, what they had is they had a week off plus an extra day. So I guess they assume that people are traveling for Easter or something.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. And so I took the day off just because my whole family would have the day off. And, I guess it's kind of nice, though, to discover you don't have school like that, right?
Yeah, initially he was like mad, like, got up for nothing. But,
yeah.
But then he realized, hey, I'm all showered up, had breakfast. It's, 25 after 7. I got a free day. So,
yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, I would take that.
So he'll probably work on getting ahead on his homework, like, all day,
probably,
right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
He'll probably spend the day trying to rescue Zelda from the castle.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went on assignment, and in typical Will's Band of the Week fashion, I didn't really complete my assignment very well. You know how that works?
How?
You travel, and you just... I didn't do as much music-related stuff as I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
So actually what ended up happening is Grant went to see 4 bands at this all-ages venue called Shea Stadium, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently, I didn't go. I sent him off. And actually an old friend of ours met him there, which was kind of cool. But he went off on the subway from Manhattan to Brooklyn, saw all these bands. Apparently the venue is very small. And it's got a very sort of a DIY kind of an atmosphere. And he said they didn't even have like a sign on the door.
Mm-hmm.
So you go down this warehouse block and you just kind of start trying out doors. And then he found a door and he took some stairs up and there's this guy sitting there at a coffee table, letting people in. Yeah.
Did he like it?
Yeah, he liked it. He said that it was... probably, he thought maybe 150 people were there.
Mm-hmm.
So a pretty decent sized crowd. And he said the sound system was really good, but the room itself wasn't quite as good, for sound quality as the sound system was. So, but overall, yeah, he was giving it a pretty good review. So then he comes back. So I'm with his younger brother, Reese, and we're in the hotel. And Grant comes back to the hotel at 2 in the morning. Now, luckily he was with this friend and they were hanging out and eating at this 24-hour Mexican restaurant somewhere near the place. And then he got on the subway And then he didn't want to wait for the transfer to the subway station closest to our hotel. So he just got out and walked.
Uh-huh.
But he said it seemed fine. He didn't feel unsafe or anything. You know, he's kind of in the middle of Manhattan. You know, you don't really feel like you're unsafe in the middle of Manhattan.
Right.
I probably sound like a completely like naive person even just talking about this, right? The Midwesterner goes to the big city, right?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you know.
Well, you should scout your surroundings.
Like you had a mild level of concern.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
seems what's appropriate.
It was mild, but he seemed pretty confident that, and he, when we first got there at 6 o'clock in the morning, after traveling all night, he was demonstrating his ability to navigate the subway. So I figured it'd be fine,
mm-hmm.
at least subway wise. And I figured the biggest concern I had was getting to and from the subway station, you know, from the venue, like at midnight, you know,
right.
He seemed to think it wasn't too bad. So
did he have a phone?
Yeah, he had a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it worked out pretty well. So while he went to this venue, Reese and I went to the Yankees game. So we took in a more traditional New York experience.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Instead of Shea Stadium, you went to Yankee Stadium.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And one thing that's cool, it's right next to the subway line.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you take the train up there and you're there, pretty much.
Now, that's surrounded by a pretty tough neighborhood.
Well, you sure see, like, around, you know, when you just look beyond the stadium, there's all these giant buildings that look like sort of like housing projects, you know.
Right.
They don't look really nice. But, you know, you're right at the stadium. You're just at a stadium. You don't really notice what neighborhood you're in.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I haven't been there. I just always hear, you know, because it's in the South Bronx. And
right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't walk to the stadium, but you know, you can't really. It's like 6 miles
yeah.
from where we were in Manhattan. I think I'm estimating that distance.
Uh-huh. Where did you stay?
We stayed on the Lower East Side
uh-huh.
at a Holiday Inn, which was kind of a new hotel. So it was very nice. And it was right near the subway.
Nice.
Yeah. Not in the middle of a big, more in a neighborhood than in a, you know, financial or tourist district.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was good. Very good. Let's see. What else did we do? Well, we did a lot of New York touristy stuff. Went to the Museum of Natural History. We saw Times Square and Rockefeller Plaza and the 9/11 Memorial. We went and saw that.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. Didn't spend a whole lot of time there. We walked in and said, there it is, a man-made waterfall and pool to commemorate where the building was. And there's another one. So there's one for each building.
Right.
Have you been there?
To the new thing. Last time I was there, I don't think they were done building it yet.
The museum still isn't done.
Okay,
like the museum right next to where those pools are is opening next month.
Okay.
So you could look in there.
What's going to be in there? I guess like interactive.
Probably.
Types of things.
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh. But yeah. Well, I'll be there next month for a wedding. So
in Manhattan?
Maybe.
That's cool.
Maybe I can give report number 2.
Yeah.
On the World Trade Center Memorial. If we make it down there.
So, yeah, I thought I might see some music or have a little bit more. Well, we did go see the, you know, the huge record store in Brooklyn called Rough Trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool. They also have a live music venue that's part of that whole complex. And they were for Record Store Day, which was the day we left early in the morning, so we couldn't see this. But they had 10 bands playing there for Record Store Day.
Wow.
Yeah, like just all day. And we went to that musical instrument store called Main Drag Music, which that's pretty cool, too. But, you know, when you're not really specifically shopping for a musical instrument, it's more like going to a museum, you know?
Right.
You go and you see the 1966 precision bass for $3,200, and you say, I would never buy that, but it's kind of interesting to see it.
Right.
You know, but it's a cool space. It was fun exploring the area, and so I recommend New York City.
All right. That was your first time there, right?
Yeah. I love subways and cities with trains where you can get around. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Getting around that way. Oh, so yeah, to go back to that whole 6 a.m. thing, we got in, instead of flying to LaGuardia, our flight got diverted to Philadelphia.
Why is that?
Which was not cool.
Right.
Because there was like thunderstorms and terrible weather in at LaGuardia. So
when you're in Philadelphia, how did you get to New York?
Well, the very disorganized process of the second-rate airline we took, which is called Spirit Airlines. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily recommend that airline. So, you know, you get into Philadelphia when you were supposed to go to New York, and then there's just one guy making what seemed like random phone calls trying to find some vans. And there you got like 140 people standing in the baggage claim area of the Philadelphia airport, and it's otherwise just dead because it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. And you're sitting there thinking, is this ever going to happen? And we actually were just looking to see where any vans might pull up, and a van pulled up like on the opposite end of the terminal from where the all the people were waiting around, and we saw it and we just bolted toward it, and I said to the guy, are you heading to Manhattan? And he said, yep, go on, get in. we got in the first van. So and that was like 3:15 by the time we left. So we get into Manhattan at like 5:15, then we took the subway to our hotel and got in at 6. So that was kind of a long travel day.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
There you go.
Tales of Manhattan.
Farmer in the city, we can call this.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was saying before we left. That Midwestern nerds stare at the tall buildings, right?
I'm sure Grant was very, very aware of like not appearing to be
a Midwestern nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Dad, don't look up. Just act cool.
Well, I did go to, this is music related. I went to the intersection of 53rd and 3rd because of the Ramones song called 53rd and 3rd. And, you know, took a couple photos of myself standing at the intersection. I had Reese take a couple photos on his iPod because I forgot my camera. I bought this cheap, super slim camera. For the purpose, I was going to take it on this trip, and it'd be really easy to just photograph everything. Then in the hectic preparation to leave, I forgot it.
So we got
photos from Reese's iPod. Mm-hmm. So they're not really high quality. But
is that the picture you put on Facebook?
Yeah, that's me at 53rd and 3rd.
You know, I was going to comment on there that it looks kind of like a PJ Harvey album cover.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you do your solo album, you can use that.
Yeah, there were a couple others like me looking more toward the camera, but my family said this one's way cooler. It's like an art photo.
No, so. I got it. Seriously. That's the picture. That's the album cover, and the album is called Farmer in the City.
Yeah, that's right.
By Will.
Right.
You might need more of a rock and roll kind of a name to use, like some fake.
Yeah.
Or at least put a last name on that.
Just like Will wasn't last cool. Name.
Will, like Will, you know, kill.
Yeah. The aging punk rocker. Is that what I'm going to be? Yeah. Okay.
Wow, that sounds like that was a good trip.
Yeah, it was a very good trip, actually. And then the other two family members, we split the family for this trip. So the other two went to Lake Tahoe and hiked, and they had a great time.
Yeah, I saw some Facebook pictures of that.
Yeah, and the reason we're doing this jet setting is that we got all of these free airline tickets when we got bumped one time.
Uh-huh.
A year ago, actually, during spring break, we got 2 free round-trip tickets per person just for taking a flight that was like a few hours later.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, like, let's go to the airport, traveling.
I'm like, sign me up for that. Bump me. I almost never need to be anywhere, like, at a certain time.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to job interviews or anything like that, business meetings. But I've never gotten bumped.
Yeah, you want to get bumped. That's the thing. When you want to get bumped, you never get bumped. That's what happens.
I guess.
And usually it's like 1 round-trip ticket. And this time it was 2 round-trip tickets, and we had 5 people. So
holy cow.
We came out pretty well on that.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yep. All right, there's the travel report. I suppose we should talk about music at some point, right?
I'll tell you a little bit about Record Store Day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Chris and I went to. First of all, the only store we went to was Strictly Discs, which is just a couple blocks from Will's house here.
Yeah.
And there was a line out the door, around the corner, and whatever that street is that separates Trader Joe's from the record store.
Yeah.
All pretty much like 2/3 of the way down to the end of the block. This isn't before they opened. This is while they were open.
Wow.
For hours. I went by there at like 8:30. It was like that. Went by later again at like 10:30, same thing. And I'd agreed to meet Chris at 1. We thought maybe it'd be calmed down by then. And it was. We were able to just walk straight in. But the line to pay for these like $30 records was, you know, all the way down into the basement.
Wow.
Yeah. So all day long, they were just ringing up these. Seriously, everything was, unless you got like a single, like a little 45, $26 and up, and way, way up. And
it's all vinyl, right?
So yeah, I mean, you could get, it was still like you could just buy used CDs and just like any other day, but all the record store day specific stuff seemed to be vinyl and incredibly expensive. And we just, you know, we stayed for a real brief time and left. It was just, you'd have to really want something bad to wait in line that long.
Well, that sure says something about the success of the vinyl resurgence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad they're doing well.
They I can't imagine what they made that day. Just ringing up.
Yeah.
I mean, biggest day like of the year. They didn't have armloads of stuff, but it was, there's no lull all day. Just ringing stuff up on the cash register.
Wow. Grant went over there. We, you know, we got back. That was the day we came back. And he went over there at like 4 in the afternoon. It didn't sound like it was that crowded then.
Okay.
So he didn't say anything about a crowd.
Yeah.
And he just went over there for a few minutes and scouted it out a little bit. There were a couple things that he was interested in, but they were bands that he's going to see live. And he said he'd rather buy it from the merch table, you know, like direct from the artist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So that was that. And then after that, we went to totally on the other end of the spectrum. This little record store on Packers Avenue. It's in an old Quonset hut. Hmm. And it's called Resale Records. And we walk in. I mean, you know what a Quonset hut is? It's like a little rusty old building filled with crates of records and just these music nerds sitting around talking, like drinking beers. And talked about, you know, Arcane Brewers players and talked about the Bucks and music. And it was pretty cool. And I got a little stack of 50 cent records.
Were they doing a record store day thing at all?
They were not.
They were so underground that
they
didn't even recognize record store day.
No.
That'd be too corporate.
Totally right. And then kind of to finish up the day, we went to that Pawn America. Chris wanted to look at some guitars and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
While we were in there, first of all, it's like the most depressing place in the
world.
Yeah,
I've been in there.
While we're in there, 38 Special comes on.
That's great.
Yeah. So
that's good Pawn America music, actually.
Yeah. This made you realize this is not the place to be right now. Why don't we just go home?
Were there people lined up like to pawn their stuff? I've seen that. And it's just like, oh man.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the whole pawn shop business model is just sad and abusive and it's terrible. You know, somebody needs money to buy drugs. So they steal their roommate's stereo or whatever, you know.
And probably if the roommate, as long as the roommate didn't keep track of the serial number, then no problem, right?
Right.
But I know a lot of the time people sell a whole bunch of stuff and it just correlates perfectly with what somebody had stolen from them. They get nailed. A lot of people get prosecuted for stealing stuff and it gets discovered at Pawn America. You'd
Is
be surprised.
Right?
Yeah, like you'd think it'd be pretty like obvious that if you're gonna commit a robbery and take all the stuff straight over there that you're kind of creating a perfect trail, you know.
Right.
But people, you know, like you said, a desperate person who's stealing stuff to buy drugs, they probably aren't thinking too much about,
right,
you know, whether they're gonna get caught.
Not criminal masterminds at work.
Right. Yeah. All right, an album came out recently that I really like. It's a band called Proto Martyr from Detroit. So, you know, what would you think a band called Proto Martyr from Detroit would sound like? When you think Detroit, you think like White Stripes or bluesy stuff, right?
Right.
Garage
Rocky.
Yeah. And this isn't really. This is, this is going to tell you something about, you know, why I would like it. It's kind of like Savages done by men instead of women.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that dark pop, harkening back to probably early 80s,
mm-hmm,
kind of a sound to it, and done really well. The album is called Under Color of Official Right, and it's really consistent. The first half is good, and the second half is just as good. So let's play it. Here's a track called Scum Rise. Proto-Martyr.
Yeah, very catchy.
Yep. Catchy and gloomy. It's gloomy, a great combination. Yeah,
it is. And, you know, it sounds a little bit like Birthday Party era Nick Cave singing.
Yep. Yeah, he also sounds like the singer from a band I loved back in the 80s called The Chameleons.
I know that name.
Yeah.
The Chameleons UK?
Yeah, they were The Chameleons, and then they had to become The Chameleons UK.
Okay.
It must have been another Chameleons.
I had their album, the one with the bananas on it. That's all I got. You can cut that part out of the podcast. That's all I know is that they had an album with bananas on it.
With bananas on it?
Yeah.
That's great that you have that visual thing. Yeah. All right, Proto-Martyr, let's play some more.
Well, you said it's very consistent, so I'm going to pick number 9.
Should we do it? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 9?
Yep.
That's a 1-minute one. Pick a different one.
Okay.
Because we got to pick a longer
number 7.
One. Okay, that's called Tarpeian Rock.
We'll be right back.
Proto-Martyr.
Yep. I picked a good one there.
Yeah, I haven't taken the time to analyze all those lyrics. There's a lot of content there. So let's play another one. This is called Violent. Proto-Martyr.
Yeah, I like it.
That's a solid album.
I got to return to my thing about the bananas on the cover.
Did
you
find it? I
was looking it up to try to find it.
Yeah.
I think I'm incorrect, but there is one, so I've got to try to find that in the basement.
Did you do a search for Chameleons Bananas?
I did, and then I just did Chameleons UK discography, and even the timing of it didn't really work out. You know, they broke up and it says 1987, and then they were briefly together in the early 2000s. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. So, oh, hold on.
Script of the Bridge is the Chameleons album that I just loved.
I think I'm zeroing in on what this might be. As we continue the podcast, I'll do a little bit more research.
Might as well play some Chameleons, right?
Yeah, go for it. It was the Charlatans. The Charlatans UK.
Oh.
With the bananas. Yeah. The album is between 10th and 11th.
Ah, okay. This is the Chameleons. Chameleons. That came out in 1983,
mm-hmm.
And I think it was one of the first CDs I ever bought. You know, CDs were new. That was like 1987, right, when this, I think, came out on CD. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, they've got the Chameleons on CD. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember going into Rose Records on State Street. Remember that place?
Yeah.
And seeing some of the early CDs, and the first one I wanted was this Jam album that was, you know, about that same age at that time, 5 years old or whatever, and it was really expensive. They'd be like $30. Maybe that's because this one was an import. Maybe this was...
Yeah, I remember this being like the regular CD price of whatever it was, like $12 or something. So,
and I'm sure it came in the long box, right? Remember those?
Boy, I remember those. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Those are the good old days. They just don't make them like they used to.
Nope.
Nope. I think we should play another Proto Martyr song because it's good. This is called Bad Advice.
Yeah, I think I'd go see that if they came to Madison.
Well, funny you'd say that.
Oh, wow.
In a week and a half, Cloud Nothings and Proto Martyr. It's a good double bill at the High Noon.
Proto Martyr's only going to play for like...
They'll play for like 35 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably enough to get most of this album in.
Well, let's see. So. This album is 34 minutes.
All right, there's going to be no banter.
Just quickly play the album. Yeah, I think it's our second album. I read that, and of course, first one I've heard. And it's one of my favorites of the year so far.
It's good.
So
Scary Dog on the cover.
Yeah, Scary Dog. That's what they call
Look
that.
Look for the one with the scary dog, and that's Proto Martyr.
Yep.
Scary, kind of a pink dog.
Yeah. I have one more thing I can talk about. How would you like to talk about an instrumental dance album?
Sure.
You know... It seems like if you look at all the reviews, especially probably Pitchfork maybe is like the key thing I'm talking about here. There are so many dance albums made by producers, right? It's sort of like these producer guys, they have access to a studio so they can make a great slick sounding album at any time. So they just put out albums and people seem to be really into it. And I think, you know, the younger crowd, this is one thing that's starting to separate us from like the younger... you know, music type nerd people, is that there is so much of this dance stuff that's popular. Maybe it's just because, you know, you get to be our age and you're just not, you're not interested in dance music as much. We don't dance, right?
I'm not a dancer, no.
And so usually these producer dance albums come out and I pretty much, sometimes I sample them and usually I kind of ignore them. But this one is actually pretty decent. I kind of liked it. It's this guy who calls himself Todd Turgay.
I actually listened to this a little
bit. Did you?
Yeah.
And he's from Norway. And apparently he worked a little bit on that last Franz Ferdinand album. And
yeah, which was unjustly overlooked. But
and then he said, "I'm a producer, so I can make an album." And so he appropriately called it "It's Album Time." So it's time for this guy to make an album. Now, interestingly, we'll get to this in a minute. There's one song with vocals on this thing, but it's mostly instrumental, and I kind of like the sound of it. This is track 3, Preben Goes to Acapulco. So it's instrumental, so we can just talk over it.
Mm-hmm.
We can disrespect it by talking over it.
Now, hopefully nobody was at home like with the tape recorder on pause, trying to get this song out, and then we came in and ruined it.
Right, totally. Yeah, well, that's Todd Turier. That's, you know, it's punchy,
yeah,
great recording and kind of a catchy song.
Right, a little sense of humor in there, I think. The guy's having some fun on the keyboard,
right
there.
Yeah, the, like the frenzy solo thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's one song that has vocals and it's featuring Brian Ferry.
Oh.
Remember Brian Ferry?
Oh, yeah.
So I just think Roxy Music, and then I think this hit he had called More Than This. Remember that? That was a huge hit.
On Avalon. Love that album.
Right. So you can't even tell this is Brian Ferry. I mean, I couldn't. So it sort of seems like, you tell me how he sounds on this. It's called Johnny and Mary.
Running around
That's Norwegian producer Todd Turye collaborating with Brian Ferry.
Yeah, it sounds more raspy there.
Yeah, it sounds like he's kind of like losing his voice a little bit. But maybe, I can't remember.
It's gotta be.
Did he always sing kind of like that, though?
No, he's got some kind of recent stuff if you want to play. He did an album of covers, including, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is a Bob Dylan, It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. But let's search for that here. It's none of those. Yeah, okay, so it's a whole...
He had a Dylan-esque album in 2007.
Let's see. I guess it doesn't have It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Whatever. I'll just play Simple Twist. Well, let's play one that everybody knows. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Mama, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Mama put my guns in the ground.
I can't shoot. So his voice is a little smoother and sweeter and on that.
Yeah.
Than on the new thing.
But, yeah.
You know, I think the only Roxy music I know is Avalon, and that was like probably 1982, right?
Yeah.
But they had been doing albums for a good 10 years by then, and it's always been one thing I've kind of thought I should really know more about that, know those old albums. And one time I did try to, I was like, okay, I'm going to pick one of the old ones out, and I'm going to just get into it, and I couldn't. I think it deserves another try, but...
Yeah, we were late to the Roxy Music party, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just, to me, they were just like some brand new, at that time, you know, vaguely new wave-ish kind of band, and oh, I like this, and...
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, it'd be like if you heard, like, Who Are You? Is like the first thing you heard by The Who, right? And then it'd be like, well, wait, there was a 10-year history before that.
Right.
Or more, maybe 15. Yep.
Same thing with, like, Fleetwood Mac. Had a long career before anybody really paid much attention.
Some of that early Fleetwood Mac is really different, right?
It's bluesy, right?
Yeah.
I've only bluesy, heard that. Rocky. I never even listened to it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some songs that you may have heard, too, because we were doing a band practice a couple weeks ago, and a couple of the guys in the band knew some of this old Fleetwood Mac. And so they started playing this riff, and like we start playing this song. I'm like, what is that? Oh, God, that's Fleetwood Mac. Wow, that's Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. You know, and you're playing this 70s rock riff thing.
Right.
Totally different from what you remember from, like, Rumors and stuff like
that. Oh, I think I know what song you mean, too.
There are a couple of them that are...
It's like this total classic rock riff. Yeah.
Right, right. There's somebody, the one where they
somebody,
say...
Somebody, like, ripped that off within the last few years. I think it was either Girls or Waves. I think it was Waves had a song that sounded just like that.
Okay, now we have...
How are we going to find it?
Yeah, now we got to find some old Fleetwood Mac. Let's see. If we go way back. See how far back Spotify can go. Tusk. Remember Tusk?
Yeah. I
forgot about Tusk.
I don't even know that I'd recognize the name.
There's an album called Blues Jam in Chicago from 1969. Wow. Don't recognize that one. Hmm. You were right when you said it was bluesy. Okay, we got to try to find that old. There was that one where he says, "Don't ask me what I think of you. You might not get the answer that you want me to." You know that one? That's a Fleetwood Mac song. And that's got like that riff, but I don't know what it's called.
We'll find it.
Now we're going to sit here until we find it.
Yeah, if anybody wants to, you know, maybe go make a sandwich or something at this time, use the restroom. Now's the time, because we're doing some research here.
Okay, I found the one that's kind of well known. It's a different one than when we were playing it in our band practice, but this one is one maybe people have heard. It's called Oh Well.
About the shape I'm in, I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you, I might not give the answer that you want me to.
That's not really what you think of when you think of Fleetwood Mac, is it?
No, but that's such a, like a classic rock guitar riff.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of at the end of the song, I think it just kind of goes on and on doing that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my recollection.
Yeah, you get a riff like that, you got to milk it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. The 70s were the time of riffs, right?
Yeah.
It's like you get it like a 4-second little guitar bleep, and that constitutes a riff just repeated over and over.
Right.
People are like, wow, is that ever cool?
Yeah, I wish I could find the song that sounds just like it, but I can't.
Well, that's an assignment for the listeners. Let's go back to Todd Turye. I've got one more to play. Another catchy one. This is called Inspector Norse.
Thank you.
you get the idea that he doesn't take himself too seriously, right? Right. Which I think is one reason I kind of like it. It's not like a, you know, totally self-absorbed, serious dance producer guy.
Right.
He's a fun dance producer guy.
Yeah.
That's how I'm interpreting it.
Exactly.
And the album is called It's Album Time. It has a goofy-looking cover.
Goofy cover, so, goofy name, kind of playful, silly music in there. Yeah. It's good.
Yep.
I like it. I think my son would like it. It's good. Seems like good kids' music.
Yeah.
For all you parents out there.
Right. Use that instead of like some Disney thing or something. Use that as your kid music.
Exactly.
There's kid music out there to be found. You know, both you and I, our kids are older now, so it's not like we're looking for music for like 3-year-olds and stuff.
Right.
But I found that kind of fun, right? When the kids were younger. Like,
yeah.
I used to play Guided by Voices in the car for Grant.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably has a little subtle influence, right?
Sure. Yeah. Wilson is definitely influenced by my musical taste, you know.
Like yeah.
His favorite things besides video game music remixes, which he's very into right now, is probably Kraftwerk and Paul McCartney are his two favorite things.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Has he heard Gary Newman?
Does he have other
old synth rock stuff? Because didn't he like Yaz?
Yes, he was a big Yaz album fan. Yeah, you bought that.
I found that for you in, God, where was I? I think I was in...
Minneapolis?
I gotta think now. No, I think this one I was in, South Dakota or something.
Okay.
Last summer.
Yeah, I should get him some Tubeway Army and Gary Newman.
Yeah.
I think he'd like it.
I wonder if he would like what was that German techno band that you and Chris told me about and we listened to a little bit? Remember that? There's that band, you know, that's more recent, doing more German techno. Yeah.
Huh.
Chris would be able to rattle that one off immediately.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was going to be able to. It's kind of a faint little thing in my old brain. I just can't access it. It's in there, but.
You get to be our age, you can't access things as fast.
No.
So even with the fine coffee you provided, this is top notch. We've got official Indie Coffee. You know that Indie Coffee is the official coffee shop of the Will's Band of the Week podcast?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In fact, this constitutes a sponsorship because you brought in coffee. So that means I got a free coffee. So you've provided me with a financial benefit. So, you're a sponsor now.
Does that raise us to the level of professionalism? I guess
I think so. Yeah.
Now we're sort of, we've got a sponsor.
We're pretty professional.
You know, you kind of got paid there with air quotes.
Right. Yep.
So that's the official coffee. Do we have any other official? Yeah. What's the official scotch?
Boy, I don't know.
It can't be Lafroy because Chris doesn't like it.
Yeah, it would have to be probably Johnny Walker Black, right? Because we could all agree on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, nobody invited me when I went out to New York City to, you know, as like a, you know, a backstage guest or anything. That was a little disappointing. In fact, this is another little music story I didn't tell before. I walked into a music venue called the Mercury Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of that? They have some pretty good bands. That's like one of their smaller venues. There's only a few blocks from where we were staying, and we were in this guitar store called Ludlow Guitars, and I realized that it was right around the corner from the Mercury Lounge, so I just went over there. And I went in, there was a guy, and there was probably like 5 or 6 p.m., and I said, hey, mind if I just go look around? And he said, well, the bands get a little touchy about going in there when they're doing a sound check, so he suggested that I not go back to the back room.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw the front room. It was kind of like the Frequency here in Madison, only like upgraded to a lot nicer, but kind of the same setup with like a long bar in the front, and then you walk to the back and the music part is back there. Yeah. So that was it.
That's as
far as I got to a New York music venue. There were a lot of things like Hamilton Lighthouser from the Walkman. He was playing either there or someplace nearby. It wasn't at the Mercury Lounge, but he was playing when we were there. I couldn't really abandon my kids and go see a band.
Right.
So
did you try to talk Reese into going to see the band at that your other son went to, that Grant saw in Brooklyn?
No.
You just knew it was going to be too late.
I knew that he would get bored trying to sit through it, you know? So the Yankees game was a much better option for him. We kind of froze at the Yankees game, though. It was like windy and 45 degrees. And so I made, you know how you're at a game or something and you're freezing, so you have to buy some merchandise. Mm-hmm. So like, probably had to just get something to be a little warmer. They had this Yankees jacket that you could get if you signed up for the New York Times for $7.50 a month, and then you can cancel at any time.
Oh.
So I signed up for the New York Times digital subscription, and he got this nice Yankees jacket.
Wow.
For $7.50. And it was a thing where it was the type of thing it would be easily like $30 or $40 if it was just at the, you know, the merch thing. I bought a cap, just like a winter style cap with that New York logo on it, which is kind of cool, right? You know, the Yankees logo.
Turn it inside out, it's cool.
Well, okay. Yeah. if you're going to be like a purist baseball fan. But I kind of think of that New York Yankees logo as kind of a,
it's iconic.
It's a classic. Yeah. And it sort of, it represents sort of New York broader than just the Yankees, I think.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it does.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I think it's cool.
Wilson's actually got a Yankees hat too that his uncle sent to him. So,
and you don't like to let him wear it, probably. Right?
I'm going to let him wear it when we're out there for the wedding.
but not at a Brewers game.
No, he actually has no interest in wearing baseball hats in general. So it's not like I have to hide it. But
yeah,
he did say he'd wear it out there to kind of try to fit in more.
So he won't look like the farmer in the city, right?
Right.
Yep. All right. Okay. Hey, we filled up a whole podcast worth of time here. So that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night.
We'll be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night. You said good night already.
I did. You know, and never has it sounded so odd to say good night as when it's 9:45 in the morning.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Consider it a general goodbye.
All right.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast from iTunes or any podcasting app. You can contact us directly by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on our webpage, willsband.net. You can also contact us through the social media, which means Facebook at facebook.com/willsband or Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening.